Members of the committee.
Item number 18, please.
From the Office of the Sheriff, submitting an informational report on departmental work rules relating to vacation allocations and scheduling. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Inspector Schmidt, welcome. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee, Major Nancy Evans, who recently has been placed in charge of our entire Detention Services Bureau, which includes both facilities, County Correctional Facility, South Central, and the courts. And based on where I believe the discussion may go, she may be able to add some value to this. Based on the agenda item and a little bit that I know what the board or what this committee is looking for, I'll give a couple introductory statements and then, of course, be willing to take questions. The main issue as to vacation selection within the sheriff's office, of course, any group that is still under the collective bargaining agreement, nothing's changed. We pick according to contract those entities that now do not fall under a specific collective bargaining agreement, which specifically to DC 48, there has been a change in that. Based on the main reason is when we look at our staff as it exists in DC 48, the amount of individuals that have low seniority and the trying to keep a good retention rate going, the way the new lack of collective bargaining agreement for those specific groups allows us a little bit of a way to give some incentive to some of the individuals that, quite frankly, have had to pick vacations and let's call it less than desirable times. So we did come up with a formula to try and make it as equitable as possible for all of the employees that fall within that range. Some, of course, will disagree with that, but we believe it's a very equitable way of doing this. I'd be happy to go through that if you're interested. Otherwise, I'll take questions.
I think if you could explain that to us, because that's one of the centerpieces, I think, of the reason for having this item.
All right, Mr. Chairman. Basically, what has been done is we've taken the alphabet. It's been divided up in a manner that we will constantly be switching with this concept in mind. Some of our employees get 2 weeks, some 3, 4, and, of course, up until 6 weeks. What this does is allow those with lower seniority, which is, of course, the way vacations used to be picked in the collective bargaining agreement, it allows some of those individuals to have a chance to get a decent prime time, and we'll use the term prime time vacation. They can only pick 2 weeks at a time, therefore at random. So if a senior individual has, of course, the 6 weeks, they'll get their first 2 weeks they can pick, then it'll go through the entire cycle, then the next 2 weeks if they have that entitlement, and then all the way up through a third cycle to get to the 6 weeks. So in other words, trying to make it a little more equitable for all the employees. An interesting statistic, actually, that the major just handed me is that 63% of staff with 5 years or less never see a prime time vacation week under the previous way of picking vacations. That's a big issue for retention and so forth. So this gives us a little flexibility to give these individuals a benefit, quite frankly, that they haven't been able to enjoy in the past. So that's the theory behind it, and of course, we'll take questions in regards to that at this point.
Thank you, Inspector. As for questions from the committee, questions or comments at this time? Supervisor Lipscomb.
Is it true that the vacation picks were done in December and then this process was instituted subsequent to the process of picking already beginning?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, often, and I'll use this term often, based on different events, different transfers that will take place, quite frankly, this has been an occurrence that I've seen many times through my history with the Sheriff's Office. The fact of the matter is, yes, vacation picks had started under what used to have been the collective bargaining agreement, and based on dealing with our attorneys and so forth as to what was appropriate, that was rescinded, and then a new vacation pick did go forth.
I guess I hear the argument about retention and how you're trying to help these younger or employees without any seniority, but in terms of sort of organizational culture and order and all the things that I often hear talked about by the sheriff, it seems to that this would foment a certain morale problem with your long-term employees, I guess I wonder why, how did you seek to balance that in your formula? Because I've obviously heard a lot about this from people who were having trouble with it, and the fact that it was brought on with sort of after the fact or midstream in the process, and the way it was rolled out and the confusion that it's caused, it seems to have more problems than benefit, at least in terms of how it's been rolled out. Now, I guess I'd like to understand how you think that this is valuable to the organization overall, beyond just the one item that you've addressed.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I'll simply say this. Maintaining the status quo and the way things have already, the way they've always been done, is not necessarily the best way for an organization to move forward, at least in our opinion. Therefore, based on not wanting to maintain the status quo and getting into another past practice concept, which is, of course, what those employees, in their mindset, sure, they want to stick with the status quo, with past practice, and quite frankly, in our organization, we feel that status quo is not the best way to proceed. So that is certainly the reasoning behind it. Thank you.
So, wanted to change. I understand that. Obviously, you changed it. But do you not think that there were other consequences of the change? Do you not believe that the morale issue is, and the problematic nature of that has some balancing or mitigating negative effect on the benefits that you picked up relative to the young employees?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, again, to restate the obvious, I know where you're trying to lead me to go, and it's a road that I don't choose to go down. Simply from the standpoint that maintaining status quo, again, is what some employees would basically like, and I understand that. There are certain things that some of the senior individuals aren't happy about. I understand that, and so does the sheriff's office. The bottom line is change is always difficult. Absolutely, we 100% understand that. I understand there are certain individuals that will oppose change. Totally understand that. What is the benefit overall to the organization? What is the benefit of status quo changing and adopting to a new way of doing business? So again, I totally understand where I believe you would like me to go or you'd like our organization to go, but the bottom line is we cannot maintain the status quo. If we simply did everything the way collective bargaining had it set up before, then there was no reason for the change in Act 10 and so forth. So in order to not get into the same rut that the organization was forced to be in before, these are some small changes. We do see a tremendous benefit to our younger people who certainly are potential candidates to look for other work. Gives them a little bit of an incentive to stay with our organization. It's one small thing we can do for them.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I wasn't trying to lead you in a direction. I was trying to get answers to questions and effects that I think you could reasonably expect when you were evaluating a policy change. No foreigner to seniority. I sit where I sit based on seniority. That seniority is a concept that's not just in union contracts or something. It's one equitable way of distributing it. I'm not sure that I but I yet understand what the formula is with the A to Z that's divided in various ways that changes over time. And I don't know how, I don't know that from my discussion with some employees, I don't think they understand it. So I would just voice the fact that I do think that certainly the way it was implemented, even if it had good intention behind it, was flawed significantly.
Thank you, Supervisor. We have a couple people from the audience that would like to speak, and before we do, I'm sorry, Supervisor House.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm curious. The guest speaker had said that the management felt that the status quo was not worth keeping, and in fact, he said that they cannot maintain the status quo. Why?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor. In an organizational philosophy, there is certainly areas where the status quo is wanted to be maintained. There are certain areas that are not. So looking at it from a business practice, which is what our office has often tried to do, what is the best way to implement a practice? Is status quo the best way to maintain the business? Is it the best way to move it forward? All the business practices and so forth that are associated with issue, we've tried to properly evaluate. And on this particular issue, to maintain the status quo, when in fact the status quo literally was taken away with Act 10 on certain issues, should we still maintain and do everything the way old business was set up? So that's really the key issue on this. To get into a philosophical discussion as to what areas are best to maintain and what items best are to change. Obviously, in our opinion, one of the things that a simple thing and a beneficial thing, at least from our organization standpoint, was that vacation picks were something that was not worth maintaining as far as the status quo goes. I hope that helps.
I find it curious that this arbitrary method that I don't understand, I certainly don't understand, nor do the many people that it affects understand, is somehow better than the status quo. This method that seems subject to change at any moment, and indeed that is now the right of management. Again, disruption of the checks and balances we once had. And it's the conversations I've had with officers within the Sheriff's Department is that this has thrown literally their short-term life plans into oblivion. They don't know when they can count on having time off. Now, they used to because, you know, a person says to me, I've had 20 years here. I had 20 years seniority, and now some newcomer, this kid is getting vacation. Instead of me, that, I'm sorry, thank you for your response. This is just too puzzling to me right now. I'm not interested in a philosophical discussion. I just want to know what is the direct benefit. I see what you said. It could improve retention of new employees. But you're really, I think it's really sacrificing something for the people that have been here decades in service to us. So, one more question, Mr. Chairman. Who did this change come from? Was it obviously within the department or was it outside the department?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I guess the simplest answer is within the agency.
Mm-hmm. Did it come from an anonymous box sitting in a closet? Did it come from a person within the agency?
Mr. Chairman, that would be from the administration, which comprises several individuals.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Before we go to the audience, we have Supervisor Mayo here.
Yes, Chairman. Thank you. I'm not coming. I would like the committee to ask them, can they give me the history of the retention before collective bargaining and what was the young and what are the old and the retention because of the new status quo? Respective commit, really have not answered any questions that y'all put forth. So I'm very curious about, we have an ordinance within Milwaukee County about seniority, and I hope that everyone got a copy of that. And why do you go with our status quo of that ordinance of using seniority as a pit? Second of all, if you change, wanted to change this methodology, I would like to know the history of how long since you want to maintain people, because I don't like that quote, because then I can get the real realistic numbers of how many young people have stayed with you because they cannot pick the vacation, or how many older people have left because of frustration of the status quo. And since we are talking about seniority, I would like to know of other departments within the sheriff's department or the organization, as you stated, are they, have they went to the keeping the status quo, or are they without collecting bargaining? I'm not talking about the deputy sheriffs, or are they going with the new method that the keep the young people alive and say we want to be part of this organization and forget the people who have made the organization what it is?
Mr. Chairman, as far as the data sets go, obviously this is brand new. We don't have any data as to what would take place in 2012 until it's implemented within 2012. Very excellent questions. One, I guess that by the end of 2012, I'd be interested to see the data sets myself as to what positive or potentially negative impact there is. So that can be done. The other data such that were requested, certainly I had no idea what was going to be asked today at this meeting. Those are certainly data such that we have through human resources and are certainly available and could be obtained, but definitely not at this particular moment.
Okay. So thank you. So I would like a 3-year data, since we want to make sure that we see, and actually you can put down how long they've been on the market, I mean, not market, within the organization. What is the purpose of reading that? Because if we have an ordinance talking about seniority, and if you plan to make a change with any organization, and I think my colleagues have talked about a number of other things, did you have a suggestion box and ask other people within that organization, the ones who would be affected, how, if you want to change the status quo, and maintain morale at status quo, would you ask them, how can we change this so we can have be more fair to our younger members, and how fair we do to our older members? Not senior, I'm just saying younger and older now. Versus shoving something down the throat. No, Michael, come back. To make this a win-win situation for everyone, so the organization can grow and profit. Because if you notice that through the budget, I'm leaning a little bit the other way now. This is not affecting you. When the county was at and the sheriff didn't keep the status quo, one organization got upset about it. So I just want to make, when we sit down at the table, we can make this work together. And I'm just trying, and I'll be happy to see that data, and I hope it'll be on the next agenda. I will be here for that information.
Okay. Yeah, we did get some questions, so maybe the best way to handle this, so our meeting's been going on quite a while and we have several items yet to do, is anybody who has any specific questions or data and information that they would like, if they send it through to the committee, we'll forward it on to the department and ask them to address that, and then once we have an answer back, you know, we'll certainly pass it on to everybody. Okay, you're welcome. Are you finished, Supervisor Mayo?
Yes.
I want to take the floor away from you. Okay, we have two members of the audience that had requested to speak. First one is Alicia. Hi. Thanks for coming. Would you tell us your last name? I don't want to massacre it here.
McGee.
McGee.
Yes.
Those are two E's.
It's M-A-G-E-E. It's not spelled like the normal McGee.
I got you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, Supervisors. I just have a few things to say. I'm not going to try to make it be too long. But I do work at the Office of the Sheriff. I am at the South Facility. I'm also the Vice President of Local 567. I'm here because of the vacation selections. And I'm going to start off by saying when Governor Walker created Act 10, we understand that that took away our policy. A lot of people thought we were protesting in Madison because we were trying to protect, keep everything in status quo. But what we were really trying to protect was our rights and our voice. And when Act 10 was created, that took away our voice necessarily. When Act 10 was created, we were supposed to be protected under Chapter 17 and Chapter 63.03. There was supposed to be some changes that was supposed to include us, that was supposed to protect us. So far, those changes have not been created yet. But if you look at Chapter 17, it says that there are certain things that are in place, and then it refers back to our contract, which doesn't exist. So we're kind of just kind of up in the air with a whole lot of things. We did pick our vacation picks in December. We did sign off on them, and it was changed in January. I was actually on vacation. I got a call at home that said we were going to be picking our vacations again. I've been employed for 21 years in March. When I started, I didn't have the opportunity to pick what I wanted to pick. I knew if I wanted to do that, I had to be there. I had to put in my time. Now that I have put in my time, I'm being told that it doesn't matter. I'm really not sure how we picked the vacation days. I understand it went by, it was alphabetical, but I still don't understand it. Most public sectors go by seniority. And I'm not quite sure why the public employees aren't doing it at this time. So I guess what I'm saying to the county board and to you, Chair, is that we go back to status quo. We go back to seniority, and that it counts. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Kevin Shoups.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Morning.
This is a 31-page document that the county put out, Department of Administrative Services, in July of last year, saying that the implications of Act 10, and it says in that document in multiple different places, that no changes would be made unless the county supervisors and county exec made them. So why are changes being made when the county supervisors and county exec have not made them? I think it's a very valid question. I have one letter from one of my members who wants me to read it for him because he's at work today, and then I have something that I have to say. The letter from my coworker says, to the distinguished board members present, I know your time is precious, so I'll keep my narrative short and to the point. I'm a 20-year veteran corrections officer of Milwaukee County. I have seen administrators come and go and have seen good and bad decisions made. As correction officers, we operate in a highly and inconsistent, inconsistent workplace environment. Those of us who have been doing this long enough realize the importance of consistency in our personal lives, because that's all we can control. Our vacations and time with our families are very important to us, and helps us decompress from our very stressful job. This is why I'm having great trouble in understanding the rationale behind the change in the way our vacation picks are now being conducted. It makes absolutely no sense and is perceived as an administrative affront to staff. I'm witnessing rookie officers, some with less than a year on the job and some with disciplinary issues, picking vacations before veteran officers. Most, if not all, the veteran officers that I know, including myself, have over 15 years with no disciplinary actions ever taken against them. As I'm sure you can understand, this is a very hard pill to swallow. How are any of us now or in the future going to be able to plan any type of vacation if we will never know how or when we can pick our vacations? I'm still trying to figure out what was wrong with the way we were picking. Our administration has never told us why and have displayed cowardice in not personally addressing us about this change at one of our roll calls. Within the last year, we were all compelled to memorize the agency mission statement with the last line saying, "Performance matters here." Clearly that line should be struck from the statement because performance clearly doesn't matter. Respected members of the board, please aid us in writing this wrong, and thanks for your time.
Who is that from?
That's from one of my members who wishes to remain anonymous.
Oh, I should have asked that question first, I guess, because I don't like to, you know, put much weight in people who are afraid to put their name on something. But please continue.
That is what I have to say. In the summer of 2010, a captain wrote on the blackboard in the roll call room one word, loyalty. We were told that we had to be loyal to the sheriff and the agency. Apparently, some people do not realize that loyalty works both ways. If you expect loyalty from someone, you have to give it in return. Our complaint with the vacation situation is twofold. First is that because we are in a seven-day service and have rotating off days, we only have every third weekend off. This means that when we are on vacation, unless our vacation coincides with our weekend off, we will not be off for an entire weekend during our vacations. There's been a long-standing practice at the CCFS which allowed the correction officers to utilize leave time with their vacations so that correction officers could enjoy the same length of vacation that every other employee in the agency enjoys. In January 2009, we were informed that this practice would be discontinued. We grieved the issue, wanted arbitration, and had the decision confirmed in circuit court. Now, in January 2012, we were once again informed that the practice would be discontinued. Second is the actual picking of the vacations. In December of 2011, the correction officers picked their vacations. They picked their vacations by seniority, and when we picked all of our weeks of vacation, whether we had 2 weeks or, for the more senior officers, up to 6 weeks. This is the way that vacation picks have always been done. Approximately 3 weeks ago, we were informed at roll call that our 2012 vacation picks would not be locked in until March, and we were told not to make any travel plans. The next day, the vacation picks were started again, and this time officers were not allowed to pick by seniority, nor were they allowed to pick all of their vacations when they picked. They were only allowed to pick 2 weeks. As a result of this new system, we now have officers with less than 1 year of seniority having Christmas and Thanksgiving vacations, and officers with more than 20 years of seniority with vacations in January and February. Where is the loyalty to the correction officers who have given 10, 15, or 20 years or more of dedicated service to Milwaukee County? To be perfectly frank, it does not exist. Any good administrator knows that their employees are their greatest asset. In 2009, we were told that the pecking order for the MCSO was, one, the public, two, the agency, and three, the employee. Many years ago, there was another administrator who was very successful in his own field. His name was Vince Lombardi, and his pecking order was one, God, two, family, three, the Green Bay Packers. His employees were not just loyal to him, they loved him. Vince Lombardi had it right.
Thank you, Mr. Chief. Calvin Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm glad that you're feeling better, obviously. And to the members of this committee, Calvin Lee, AFSCME District Council 48. One, I want to thank you for actually adding this to the agenda today so we can have some discourse and some great dialogue on it. But which baffles me, and I don't want to really hatchet some of the comments that were provided to this committee earlier. But I would tell you this. I am, per se, the rookie, the baby staffer in my office there at District Council 48. Learned a hell of a lot, a great deal, as quote-unquote being the rookie. Seniority matters within any organization. With seniority, you grow with your benefits, things of that nature, whether they were negotiated or not. Act 10 came about, and obviously there are a number of folks within our great state here that are not pleased. But I assure you that, as the inspector stated earlier, status quo, something needed to be changed for retention purposes, for younger folks. If those individuals, those correctional officers, decided to leave this institution, it would not be because of vacation picks. It wouldn't. My short time representing the members of Local 567 and 882, at least specifically with 567, my short time representing them, I would say those members would probably end up leaving this institution because of the heavy-handedness from the department. Every other week when we attend PRB sessions, even when we had a contract in place, it's the department's ability to go ahead and administer punishment, whatever they deem to be applicable, but nonetheless, progressive discipline, things of that nature that we in the labor movement or those even in private sector, I would argue, adhere to, I don't think necessarily was reasonable on the department's part when they administer those disciplines. I've had the opportunity, and I did congratulate her just as I came back into this room this morning. I've had the opportunity of working with Ms. Mitchell in the private sector. Obviously, we have not agreed on a number of things, but, quote-unquote, the status quo, since that's the word that's being tossed around today, that status quo can work. It worked when we worked in our previous fields, so to speak, in our previous capacities. It can work now. Another institution just east of here at 200 East Wells, the city of Milwaukee. I represent majority of the locals there. Now, mind you, they are another great institution here in the city. They are actually working with labor. The department had every right to begin this process of trying to create some type of change, what they deemed to be better or what have you. One of the credits I would say to the city of Milwaukee is that they reached out to us and worked with labor. They worked with the labor union leaders. This was heavy-handed, didn't give us an opportunity to try to work with the county, more importantly, with the board supervisors, or more importantly, the county exec. It's working, and that other institution, as I just mentioned, east of here, and they acknowledge, they recognize, they appreciate that contract, that longstanding history that labor has provided. I, in my short time representing my folks here with the county and understanding some of the pitfalls that they've experienced, we are seeking that opportunity to work with this board, to work with the county, to work with every department. More importantly, as President Chief stated of Local 567, in your own documents, page 7, in your own documents, it clearly outlines that any changes would actually come before you all and the county exec. For that reason, I've seen a number of actions within this department that even at the last judicial panel meeting that I was able to attend, there are things that are unilaterally being done without any type of board approval. And I'm wondering if there's any discourse whatsoever with any of you about any of these changes or proposed changes. Bring us to the table. Let's discuss this. It's working, as I stated, just east of here. There are no complaints. And I assure you, if retention is their sole argument that they're leaving or that they possibly would leave, as he stated, well, he doesn't want to restate the obvious. Through my eyes, my peers' eyes, and those individuals that I represent, the obvious is not necessarily the obvious. And what I believe is the obvious, I'm sure that the department and its administration would disagree with that. But nonetheless, give us an opportunity to work with you. Keep the seniority in place. There has nothing been changed through our eyes because there has nothing been presented. And this is coming from your own department, that until changes are made, even though we don't have a collective bargaining agreement, those things will remain intact. They will. I greatly appreciate speaking before you. I will gladly take any of your questions. I look forward to continuing working with you in the future. But keep that in mind. Yes, I sincerely believe that the morale is down for a number of reasons. For a number of reasons. This, which is being implemented, is heavy-handed. And we're respectfully requesting that you put a cease to this, put a stop to it. And as it was stated earlier, since we're talking about status quo, go back to the status quo.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Does anybody have any questions specifically, Mr. Lee? Okay. Thank you very much for coming. All right. We're going to move. Let's see.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Supervisor Borkowski, go ahead.
Did we say that at our next meeting we were going to, because I know the Supervisor Mayo had some questions that he wanted answered. I don't know, before we go on, if we said that it was going to be next meeting, or I think that the testimony here would like at least know, when's the next time we're going to take this up. and obviously Supervisor Mayo, in his capacity as a non-committee member, is not able to make the motion per se. But so I just want to know where we're at.
My idea was to gather some information on questions and specific things people were looking for through our committee clerk and get them to the Sheriff's Department and then hold the meeting. We're kind of at the mercy of the Sheriff's Department for them to get the information back to us. I would think, you know, that depending on what types of questions are asked, the amount of information, if it can be the next meeting or as soon as possible. You know, without knowing exactly what we want from them, it's hard to say how much time they're going to need to put it together.
Can I say something? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For data, I mean, as Inspector said, of course, you know, when you enact a policy, you have to wait and see what ramifications are, so that data will be forthcoming, I guess, to use his words. Obviously, for us to make any kind of decisions, we have to have some data. And the data would seem pretty obvious to me is that what in the last 3 years, I think that's what Supervisor Mayo was asking for, maybe anybody that could help me on that, I thought the kind of the summary would be that looking, you know, usually a fair sample is 3 to 5 years, maybe 3 years back and say, in the last 3 years, how many people in the, you know, have left in their first 2 years, 3 years of employment with Milwaukee County as deputy sheriffs. I knew this was an argument many years ago in the whole salary structure where we needed, I remember voting as a committee to raise the initial salary of new deputy sheriffs coming on because we were losing them to suburban areas because the pay was so much higher starting off. Of course, it never can be fair completely. That's always a problem. And then the veteran sheriffs were not happy because the newcomers were getting more of a boost than they were. But that's always a problem when you do salary stuff is that how can you ever be fair to everyone? That's a very difficult thing to do. But the data would be then, you know, looking at numbers, how many people are leaving, particularly in the early years, first couple of years of service. I think that's the point. That's why the status quo would be changed. To recognize and as administratively, I think we'd have some, you know, appreciation for that if we could see some data or some numbers to show indeed why this change is being made. If you have data to show that a lot of people are leaving early, for whatever reason here or the vacation thing, that's what we'd like to see. And on the other hand, you know, about the retiree situation. So, is that clear enough? I mean, it's not very clear, but I guess we're looking for some data to show. The summarization would be why the change would be made. Data to support the change.
Thank you, Supervisor Smith. My attempt. Does that answer your question, Supervisor Bukowski?
Honestly, no. I guess for clarification, I guess I want to know where we're leaving this. Is it for next month that so we had Supervisor Mayo had some questions, and I know we just heard from Supervisor Schmidt. And so is this for next meeting or is it the call chair? I guess I don't know what is the proper motion, but I don't want to leave loose ends here.
Sure. My plan is, unless committee members want to direct otherwise, we'll send off the list of questions that we get or information that we want to the Sheriff's Department. As soon as we get it back, it will be scheduled for the very next meeting. If somebody wants to do something different than that, I don't know, but it's hard to say. I think for sure we want it next meeting. If we ask them for information they can't put together by then, and then we're going to get a non-answer. That would be my plan of attack. If somebody wants to do something differently and put in a hard date, and then, you know, they can provide by that date what they can provide.
Mr. Chairman, thanks. We may want to ask Corporation Counsel for an opinion on if the correctional officers are required to follow the rules as set by the county board as well. Set by the county as opposed to the new arbitrary.
I think that's a question that's going to have to be answered sooner rather than later, and there's going to be a lot more involved than just this single issue in that. Mm-hmm. And I think we're headed in that direction. But feel free to send that to corporation or to the committee clerk, and we'll forward that on as a committee too. You know, and ask that probably good information to get. In the interest of our schedule, Ms. Secor would like to say something. I would ask you to please keep it brief, and thank you.
Be very short and brief. And I understand, Penny Secor, Mr. Chair, Supervisors. I would like you to, at this point, tell the Sheriff's Department to stop doing what they're doing, go to the status quo, get those numbers, set up that we will be happy to work with the Sheriff's Department in any way, shape, or form. But right now, they are implementing this change with no information behind it. There are suppositions and what-ifs, but no hard facts to say people, lower seniority people, are working. And then understand that you're going to have the dichotomy of two separate groups in one department having two separate policies for vacation. The deputy sheriffs are going to still do it by seniority, and the correction officers and even the clerical people are going to be doing it a different way because they haven't made a distinction between the clerical people and the sheriff. The correction officers. It's everybody that's going to be affected. So I agree with you. There is facts and figures that need to be done. But if you just lay it over without, because those first picks have already been done. They are a done deal, everybody thought. They're in the process right now of doing it by alphabet. But in their explanation, they didn't say, like, what if all the Ks are on third shift? How are they going to work it? How are they going to work it? Right now, seniority is mixed up, and they have worked it in the past. They've worked it for the past 20 years. It's nothing new. So we would ask you, yes, we need that information, but we would ask you to go back to the status quo, order the Sheriff's Department, because it's very clear that you guys have to direct these things. And we would ask to go back to the status quo until this work group gets all these questions answered, because if you don't do that, they're just going to go ahead, and these people are going to get screwed for the whole year 2012. So I'd ask you to do that. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor. Let's go back to Supervisor.
I was curious what Mr. Lee had to say just briefly.
Okay. Go ahead.
Just a question, I guess, for a point of clarification, and pardon me, because, like I said, I'm familiar dealing with the city, so still learning your rules and things of that nature. And this beast that I'm dealing with here, I love it, but still learning it. So point of clarification, though, just for my own edification, does county employee, whether it's in the sheriff's department or anywhere else in this institution, if they leave county employment, is there an exit interview? Because,
yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. Currently, to my knowledge, there is no consistent practice across the county regarding the exit process. That's something on the radar for me in terms of the future. If that process exists anywhere, I'm not aware of it yet.
The only reason why I raise that issue, Mr. Chairman, is that, one, I think that's going to muddy whatever information that's provided to this committee, because if that individual unilaterally gets terminated for whatever reason, if it's at his fault or something that's pending in PRB that we're fighting to get that individual's job back, you know, if there's no exit interview, I mean, I would strongly argue that less senior employee is leaving this institution just purely based on his vacation or her vacation pick. So,
thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, Supervisor Borkowski, are you satisfied that we're proceeding? We still do have this overarching question, as Supervisor Haas brought up, of exactly what we can and can't do in regards to the Sheriff's Department, with the fact that he's a separately elected constitutional officer. There's a gray area that's been there, I think, since budget time, and that's a question that's ultimately going to have to be answered before a lot of this can be addressed.
I think Mr. Chairman, you kind of said it all. I mean, we can say stop this, but it's clear that the sheriff and his department are going to do what they're going to do. I think the damage is, I shouldn't say damage, but I think the work has been done already as far as people getting vacation time, superseding those with seniority and that kind of. I don't think you can redo that. We're kind of a paper tiger, if you will. But I look forward to the next meeting with some more of this data and this information. And I know that our constituents who are affected are going to call all of us
I don't think any of us on the county board are immune, because we all have constituents that are all being affected, and they are calling us. And so, you know, we can say, well, we're going to try to duck it, but we're not going to be able to. So let's bring it back next meeting, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Ready to move on? Thank you. Do you girls want to take like a little 5-minute break before we get into the next thing? Close session. Oh, you're good.